Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
Break it down, season 4, episode 42, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Love that chocolate.
You have been.
Yeah.
Tom's dating a woman of color right now.
Yeah, colored woman.
You probably, it's a lie.
Is that a lie because I said it like that?
It's a lie because of the mustache.
The mustache, the mullet. A lot of red flags.
Not Confederate flags. Those red flags are different.
Yeah.
I feel like this, I thought this was going to be one of those episodes where, like, you wear the mullet and we don't discuss it whatsoever.
What? The mullet?
The mustache.
Right off the bat. Well, big mustache guy now. So.
I said, if Tom mentions Hershey in the chocolate, which is, you're so predictable.
You put the Hershey, Pennsylvania in there. That wasn't me, man.
All right, guys, we are, we're in Langley, Massachusetts.
Ah, there we go. What a nice area.
And, nice for the CIA, because we are figuring out that Vince killed Brian Pillman.
It's very obvious. And now he's got some crazy storylines going on in this episode to try to distract us from the truth.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that we're like, oh, we'll make up a conspiracy. Not really make up, but have a hunch about something. And then we tune in next week, and we're like, yeah, writing's on the wall.
Yeah, it's getting better and better.
Vince is just like, ever since we killed Brian Pillman, ratings have been through the roof. I'm like, what did he mean by that?
What did he mean by that weird statement? That's why he had to retire now.
That's why we have to have Sable with $1 million.
He always knew how to distract people. Throw him off the scent.
Sable and money, that's right up Vince's alley. What did you think of this Raw?
It was all right. It's kind of weird. It's the last one before Survivor Series, right?
Yeah, pretty fucked up, right?
I know. So all of a sudden, this is it.
Yeah.
This is, spoiler alert, we don't even get Bret Hart. So we only get one more Bret Hart action here, okay?
Wow.
I know.
We might have to go all out for our last Bret Hart. Yeah.
Bust that costume back out. Only time it'll be relevant ever again for us.
Yeah. Podcast.
But if we go back in time,
did we even air that episode when we did it in the parking lot? I think we had to have, right?
I have no idea if you put the video on. We did record it.
It was just, yeah.
But we did. We videoed it.
Yeah, why didn't we post it? I don't know.
That was years ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but no Brett, no OE. They are in Calgary right now.
Yeah, just hanging. The Heart Dungeon.
Yeah.
Hanging out at Diana's.
I forget about that dungeon. With Stu, of course.
Yeah, it was like the first kink.com. You know, like that dungeon that you see in the prelude style of their pornos?
Yeah.
That was the Heart Dungeon back in the
day. Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of cosplay now with that dungeon.
Yeah, it's cosplay.
Like, what is Storm from X-Men doing in this dungeon? It doesn't even fit, you know?
There's no weather down there.
Yeah. That was my concern. There's no weather. All right. Vince is doing an in-ring interview with Stone Cold, and I think it's for half of this Raw, we're getting Jim Cornette on commentary.
Yeah, why is that? Did they say?
I don't know. I've mentioned a couple episodes, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is the last Vince is on commentary.
Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're getting your information from, but it is not accurate.
I kind of don't mind Jim Cornette on commentary,
though. I love Jim Cornette on commentary. Mm-hmm. He can talk his way out of a paper bag.
Is that a saying?
I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Isn't that a saying? But what
you
does it
talk
mean?
Talk your way out of a paper bag.
Couldn't anyone?
Yeah, maybe like I don't even want to get into it. My brain's going to go so far off topic. So Vince is talking with Stone Cold, and this is officially now official. Stone Cold versus Owen Hart at Survivor Series. And I know what you're thinking. What other matches? We will get them all tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All sorts. I don't know. Like, yeah. I feel like there's not a ton early. But, man, they pack out match after match.
At the end, they're like, and by the way, so-and-so is versus so-and-so. That's a Survivor Series. Tune in. Buy the pay-per-view. And it's like the episode. But, yeah. Vince is saying to Stone Cold he has made a lot of enemies over, you know, the past couple weeks. Hart Foundation hate him.
Hate him.
Nation of Domination do not like him.
No, hate him.
And last week, giving a stunner to Ahmed Johnson to cost him a potential finals run at the IC title. It's a weird way of saying
that. Is that a thing? Did you just make that up?
Or no, remember he stunned Ahmed.
Right. Oh, was that
against little Oe?
Oh, and at the title match. I thought you were saying like he was going to make it to the finals of the tournament.
If he beat little Oe, he would
be in the finals. Wasn't little Oe the champion?
No, that's a Survivor Series.
Now, how many times are you going to do this? Lil Oe's the champion. Stone Cold's costing him matches so that he will face him. They had the final of the tournament.
That was the finals?
No, but it happened weeks ago at the pay-per-view. Farouk versus Lil Oe.
One night only?
Bad blood.
One night only?
No, one night only, yeah. It happened one night only, but it was the night of bad blood. They had bad blood, remember? It was the night of bad blood. It was Lil Oe versus Farouk.
Yeah.
And then Stone Cold hit Farouk in the face with the title. And Lil Oe won.
So let me get this straight. Ahmed Johnson got stunned last week.
Right, in a title match.
In the title match.
Yeah, in the title match.
To make sure Owen Hart kept the title.
Yes, yes.
Well, that makes sense.
You did this last episode too, I think. You were like, oh, yeah, we're getting pretty close. Why wasn't there... I think what you said was, why wasn't there an IC tournament match? And I said, because it finished 3 weeks ago.
Let's, I want everyone that listens, watches this, that... at least there's proof of my mental decline. Like, it's been pretty bad lately. So, I apologize. I don't know what I need to do to fix it.
Oh, I mean, just, I don't know, it's over. Like, I think what's going to fix it is Survivor Series when the match between Stone Cold and Lil Oe actually happens. You've been all out of sorts since SummerSlam when he broke his neck. He's still not recovered from that, I don't think.
When people say, I got a little couple screws loose,
right.
The cure to that is a Montreal screw job.
Right, right, right.
It's like a Canadian lobotomy.
Right, like right now, you couldn't remember your way out of a paper bag. But
no, I could see that. Yeah. There's only, like, there's corners and shit, and
all the way down here. How do I get out?
Yeah,
if it's upside down, that's a whole different ballgame.
Don't even want to consider that. What did we? Okay, so you know, Stone Cold, his response to this is wrong place, wrong time, jackass. He didn't say jackass, but he said, you know, wrong
place.
His
shirt said jackass.
It did.
Other side, jackass.
Here comes Ahmed Johnson. Mm. Let's peep. Let's take a moment and look at what Ahmed's wearing. And we got fanny pack, acid wash jeans, and this shirt is basically painted on him. But I want to know this material. I'm pretty sure it's velvet, right?
Ooh, I could see him being a big wearing velvet guy.
I also would wear velvet if, like, I had a velvet shirt, right? Why don't people wear velvet more? Now I don't have to get
you for Christmas. Velvet shirts for the... We should just do velvet podcasts. We could just do all velvet walls, velvet carpet.
Yeah, velvet everything.
Velvet green screen, whatever.
Yeah. The camera's just going to be filming a porno.
Well.
You know how I get on velvet, baby. Red velvet, bloody buddy cup.
Ooh.
Ahmed tries to talk here, talking shit to Stone Cold. And first of all, not sure if he can't get a word out because it's Ahmed. But also, the crowd is not helping because they're cheering, Austin, 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 Austin. Ahmed challenges Stone Cold to a match tonight, and Austin accepts. So he is going to face him kind of broken freaking neck before a week before Survivor Series. Right. So kind of ballsy to put him in the ring.
I would say so. I was intrigued. I read it on like the tag of this match, Austin versus Ahmed. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So I was excited for it. And so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we got more matches being plugged tonight. We have Vader versus Bulldog. I mean, not just a regular match, Tom. What do we got?
A dog collar match for some reason.
I'll have to edit that out. A dog collar match. So similar to Caribbean strap, but around the neck.
Right. Instead of around the arm, it's around the neck, and it's got, you know, it's got that kinky collar.
It's the kinkiest of collars. Speaking of kinky, this isn't a match, but it's plugged tonight. We get a interview from JR, and he's interviewing Goldust and Marlena, and this is twice JR says this. He goes, I got an interview with Goldust, and he raped his wife of her dignity and destroyed her family. There was so much emphasis on raped his wife. And then, like, I'm going to need to rape your wife and her dignity out of family. Why? He said it twice just like that.
Well, it was probably super awkward for him. And now he's probably dating Marlena because, you know, when... Well, I don't want to spoil the interview, but when something like that happens, she's going to latch on the first guy that's there. Good old Jimmy JR is right there. You know what? Boomer Sooner. And the rest is history.
Yeah, Boomer Sooner indeed.
Yeah. Is this where we get into the interview, right? Or is there...
No.
Oh, no, we got a match.
Speaking of rape. I know you want me. I know you want me. I know that you want my love. If Sonny's coming out, you bet your ass you guessed it. It is the light heavyweight tournament.
Hell yeah.
We actually get a tournament.
I'm pumped. They've been teasing this tournament for a while. We're going to see some sweet matches, I bet, in this tournament.
Because
they do some cool stuff. They do cool stuff. Do you know who the two guys in this are?
Super Loco.
Super Loco.
And Aguila?
Aguila. So...
Which means two, eagle?
Which means eagle. But they're back later and they have much more prominent runs in the WWF. Do you know who they are? The one's super easy, the other one's a little tougher, but you could tell by the way kind of he wrestled. I did look it up to confirm.
Who is the most noticeable?
The one most noticeable is Super Loco. Yes.
Yeah, he was
great. And the name is actually half the same. It's actually exactly the same, just in a different language.
Obviously super crazy.
Yeah. But you remember the Mexicools from like the early 2000s? It was Psychosis, Juventus, and
Super Crazy.
And Super Crazy, yeah. He was on, he was with them, and they were like the lawn mowing landscape Mexicans.
Which were kind of like the Boricuas.
Yeah, but way cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, because they were Mexicools. And so he was super crazy. He was pretty awesome. And then I actually think that was like Adult John's name in Spanish. Super Crazy, because of the wrestler Super Crazy. So, and then the other one is S.A. Rios,
who doesn't ring a bell for
he's
me.
Who Lita was with when she first came in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he was. I mean, we'll see him soon, like late 90s. He's winning cruiserweight titles, maybe hardcore titles.
They both look great, but a couple botches in this match.
Couple two three Boddingtons?
Couple two three Boddingtons, you know how we do.
Down in Birmingham.
But speaking of light heavyweight tournaments, our boy, Brian Christopher,
is a real favorite of the tournament.
Yes. Yeah, we all know it's going to be him versus Taki Michinoku. A match we've seen probably 1,000 times.
I think it could be. They're really building up this Aguila guy.
Yeah.
He's like the hottest young star. He's only 19.
He is 19. He looked great. Again,
I do know this guy does become cruiserweight champion at some point.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Not as Aguila, but like as S.A. Rios.
Yeah, so Brian Christopher on commentary, and I kind of didn't mind this at all. Like, there was a couple, like, misses. I don't want to say botches, because they're just, like, missed opportunities, and you could, like, hear him laughing on commentary. It's kind of funny. Super Loco tries to hit a springboard, and again, like, kind of gets caught in the ropes, and then Super Loco tries to do this kick off the ropes, but totally misses. Either way, is it Aguila?
Aguila?
Yeah. Aguila?
Aguila.
Yeah.
Aguila.
Wins by a crossbody?
Yeah, that's a big move for those Eagles.
I know.
For those Eagles, it is a big move. But also, like, that match was, like, nonstop, high-flying, crazy flips, you name it. And it's just, like, win by crossing.
No, the old habits are effective.
Sure. You want to get into this...
the interview this here? Interview. Did you bring a box of tissues with you? Because there's emotion.
Why am I going to come?
Well, Marlena does look pretty hot in it. But yeah, so I think they teased this last week as an interview with JR interviewing Marlena and told us to go through the trauma of the Brian Pillman experience, which I think was insensitive. And obviously, you know, you got to break the kayfabe there. And, you know, let's just, you know, carry on with the storyline. But we actually have this interview. JR is pretty upset about the whole experience. So something goes down here.
So what is the interview about, though? Is it about like what happened with
about
Brian Pillman?
Pretty much.
But they didn't say anything. Like
they didn't mention Brian Pillman, but like they said, you know, what would like the last 30 days? What did you tell Dakota about what happened? And she just thinks mommy was on a long vacation.
But also, this was all Goldust's idea.
It wasn't Goldust's idea. It was Brian Pillman's idea.
Oh sure, but he accepted.
Marlena accepted.
Oh, yeah. So never mind. I just totally flip switch real quickly. I'm on Dustin Reynolds' side. That's the entire thing.
I know. Like now, it makes it sound like now you get a reason why he gets upset here. But so the interview starts. She's very much in love, happy that she's back, mm-hmm. just happy the whole thing's over. Loves Dakota, loves Dustin, and Dustin's like, I can't do this no more, Marlena. I can't do nothing for you anymore. I've been living for my dad. I'm living for you now. I'm going to live for myself. What did you think I was doing when you were gone? Just playing dad? Nah, I was fucking some bitch.
He didn't say fucking some bitch.
But he insinuated.
He said fucking someone. We don't know if it's a bitch, though. We don't
right,
know
right. That is, I mean, he is bizarre. Yeah, he's yes. fucking a goat, maybe. I don't know.
Hey. But, as long as nobody knows about it.
Yeah, well, nobody did. And now he just spilt the beans on national television. I think, so... He basically, this is a really crazy thing because it's like goes from this loving scenario where Marlena's like, oh, I love him. He's just like my comfort when I get home, all this stuff. And then he's just like, here's your fucking ring, you skank.
Yeah.
I found someone who lets me be me. And I don't have to live in my shadow of my dad or you anymore.
Can I cut you off there?
Yeah.
Marlena doesn't let him be him. He's walking around in a full leather jumpsuit, rubbing his nipples and kissing guys in the ring. What more do you need?
What if that's not him, though? What if that's who she wants him to be? Because he says you could take this ring and you could take the whole Marlena thing.
He goes, you could take this ring. This ring. He whips out this giant cock ring.
And it's not a condom.
Great way to segment to it. Guys, not a condom. Don't know how to be any more transparent than this. It's not a condom at all.
0% condom, 100% fun.
That's good. That's really good. Let's not spend any more time on this. This was probably, a 15-minute segment, though?
Yeah, I texted her up. I was like, dude, I did not see this coming, this whole breakup. So I was getting a little emotional watching it and a little turned on because Marlena was looking fine. And
Danzel in distress.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah, you got to love it. You got to love that look.
Yeah, now I knew that whole term, like, dancing with stress. I'm like, yeah, just, you know, a woman that needs help. And now I'm just like, God, that's hot. I don't know what it is, but she's feeling pain. She is feeling pain.
I'd love to help you three ways from Sunday.
Again, with the weird analogies. I like to just, you know, find my way through a glass. It is, yeah. Yeah, you smell like a marbred. Okay, so not only was that super fucking long, but we get a, like, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, like,
yeah,
all
like
their
the
highlight video to prep for Survivor Series. And I want to take you in a day of a life at somebody in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Raw starts. You get a light heavyweight match that two people you do not know. You have a 15-minute segment about Goldust.
No, Hershey, Pennsylvania, big, super crazy, super local fan.
Okay, yeah. So you just got the best match of all time. But that's literally 30 minutes of just, like, promos.
Right, I wonder what was happening. Like, they were just watching videos there for, like, you back to back to back. Do you think there were some matches that went really poorly?
No, I think they literally
just... Do you think the Funkettes made an appearance and they didn't put it on TV?
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what happened.
I was going to pick your brain on if the Funkettes were there or not. So, yeah, it's a 12-minute hype video. Most of this entire first half of Raw is just, you had no matches. Except for the Abe and Stone Cold.
Right.
I thought that was going to be the main event.
I know, I would have thought. But we got actually an even bigger one, which hasn't even been announced yet, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But
they'll do that at the announcement table. Abe and Stone Cold.
Yeah, Abe's out there waiting for Stone Cold, comes out, does his intro, and then you hear the glass break.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You hear the... Boom. Lights go red.
If you haven't figured it out, it's gotta be Kane.
And he is walking out. You know what this means. Kane's just gonna beat up everybody.
Yeah. Ahmed doesn't look scared though.
Ahmed ain't scared. He's been on his own since he was 13, raised by himself. Yeah. You know how many big red monsters he had to fight off?
I don't know.
Three or four?
Three, four.
Couple two, three. Every time I fight him, I have Boddingtons. That was my thing.
He wasn't drinking Boddingtons.
No, you can't get Boddingtons in Georgia. I'm pretty sure they don't distribute there.
They don't.
Or no, Mississippi, sorry.
Yeah, Mississippi.
Definitely not Mississippi. No, Georgia, I think you can get it at the airport in Atlanta.
They have an swipe up. You let us know who's been at the airport in Atlanta. So Ahmed tries to attack Kang with a bunch of right hands, but it is to no effect. Ahmed is greeted with a nice choke slam by the Big Red Machine, and Paul Bearer gets in the ring, and he is demanding Kane to do a tombstone to him, Kane.
What'd you think of this tombstone?
That was good.
You did?
Yeah.
That was terrible.
I don't remember.
He did two of them.
Yeah.
Ahmed, not big on selling tombstones, it seemed like.
I thought, okay, so I kind of remember this, and I'm like, oh, like, Kane kind of... I was more impressed by the way he threw Ahmed up. Like, no problem.
Right, no problem. Picked him up, yeah.
I guess maybe I just wasn't really looking at the execution.
The impact, yeah. Like, Ahmed, like, moved to the side every time. So, like he was scared of falling. And, like, so he just kind of got dropped there. No real, even close to a look of it, like, crazy Undertaker tombstone.
Interesting. Yeah, so Paul Bearer tells him to do another, and so he does. And Paul Bearer kind of maybe wants to do three. And by God, here comes Mankind hitting the mandible claw on Paul Bearer.
Then Kane notices, and Mankind for some reason has this giant pipe. Like, what is this?
It's not Ahmed's pipe. I know what you're thinking.
He's got the Pearl River Power House in his hand. Fucking hits Kane upside the head with the Pearl River Powerhouse. What a great nickname.
I know. Wow. The Pearl River Powerhouse.
I think I'm going to have to hit up Ahmed. Like, yo, dude, you call your dick the Pearl River Powerhouse? I'm going to talk to him like that, like I'm from Hershey.
Like I'm from Hershey.
I don't know why.
No, it seems right. Yeah. It seems right. Don't question
it. You call that shit the Pearl River Powerhouse?
Yeah.
Nice, bro.
So, giant pipe that ended up bending. Crazy. But
I think it was already bent.
Yeah, maybe.
Jim Cornette said he bent it, but I think it was already bent.
So, Kane gets hit with the pipe, and just like Undertaker, does the old sit-up, and kind of my line of the night was from JR. It was stupid. I know I botch my words all the time, but he goes, Kane just sat up like his brother Taker. Is that saying Undertaker? Like Undertaker? Like Brother Taker. Like Brother Taker.
I knew this chick in high school. That was her nickname.
Brother
Taker. Brother Taker.
Wow.
She hooked up with the all the Hershey Pennsylvanians, if you know what I'm saying.
I know which brothers. I know which brothers. Did she take all their virginities, though?
We never saw them again. There's no way we could.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I assume so, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You don't want some, you know, skank.
Just great way to hit it. You just don't want some skank. Okay.
Carry on.
finally Stone Cold comes
out. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, wait, I missed my spot here. I thought he was doing a promo for a while or something.
We got this big red retard Satan Gorilla went ahead of me. Now let him kick that jackass's ass.
You can say retard still, right?
Up yeah, until back, we get past, past like 2007 or 8, I think. Okay. So say.
I mean, I think it's later in this episode, but a lot of maggot chants that are blatantly obvious. It's
really, really getting out of hand here.
I'd say. It's really, I think it's only getting worse. Right? Stone Cold comes out and he says, I told you Ahmed was going to get his ass beat tonight. Didn't lie.
He's not a liar, this Stone Cold.
And Stone Cold goes, he wants to kick somebody's ass tonight. Here. He was already cleared to wrestle, I guess. So he calls out any single person in that locker room. And as there's a long pause.
Who do you think is going to come out?
I honestly didn't know.
Flash Funk with the Funk Kids. No, doesn't happen. Maybe the Spark Plug? No.
Mark Mero, he's on a winning streak.
He's got a match later.
That was plugged. Nation of Domination come out, and it is all of them, and Rocky's up for the challenge. Rocky's, ready to go out there. It's like another Miami. Oh, yeah.
You're doing D-Lo there.
Oh. Well, neither one of them go. Let's send Kama Mustafa out there to take on Stone Cold. Probably the best one to send out there, I think.
Nah, he's a beast. Tallest,
biggest.
Most punctuation-y.
Most tattooedest.
Most rudest.
Yeah. LOD comes out.
LOD comes out for no reason.
And they attack the Nation of Domination. And Kama Mustafa, distracted by this a little bit, turns around. Stole Cold Stunner. Don't trust anybody. Jackass. All right, second half of Raw.
A lot of matches coming up.
Yeah, well, there was one earlier.
Yeah, there was. Well, yeah, it was the one lighter cruiserweight match. That's it, right? And now I think there's five or something crazy in this last.
Well, there has to be, right? There has to be.
So all Vince is back on commentary.
Back on commentary.
And so is King, right?
Indeed. I do believe so. So like, yes. The boys are back in town.
Okay, let me ask you this. Was this two separate locations, two separate nights, or something like that? Because it kind of has that feel now. Two different commentary people. And then this whole second half is a totally different show. Do they reference anything outside of commentary or what happened? Like,
no way. I mean, imagine going... Well, I guess you could have... To your point, you could have put on a bunch of dark matches. But man, that would have been... I would want my money back.
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems a little weird.
Yeah, I guess. We'd have to look back at the episode. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know enough to really comment on it. But what you're saying is true. I guess it should bring up some suspicions. We know the WWE's been a little shady recently once we started, driving them back in town.
Digging in.
Yeah.
Did I miss the... I think I might have missed the entire Jeff Jarrett thing. Did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I totally missed that. I remember the promo for it and then like, oh, hey, I'm going to talk to Jeff Jarrett again. I have no recollection of anything that was said.
Yeah, I remember he told... He left WCW. He just basically just...
Yeah, he said that last week.
Oh, then I don't.
You'll have notes. Yeah. We'll be able to tell.
Wait, Jeff Jarrett's in this episode?
That's what I'm asking. JR said he was going to continue the interview, but I don't remember the interview ever happening.
So, guys, in this episode, JR says that he had an interview with Jeff Jarrett, and I don't remember it happening. You're right, though. I did forget about that. You just watched this one, too, right?
Yeah, today. Yeah, good. I know. I'm fresh. It's fresh in my mind.
All right. We are starting the second half of Raw off with Shawn Michaels' music hitting, and it just immediately gets interrupted. We've done this before. Shawn Michaels' music hits, which is such a banger. Then out the curtain comes Rick Rude, and then he just introduces D-Generation X.
He saw a place in this group.
And then the music hits. It's like, does he need... What just be the trash band
guy. Yeah, right. be the guy with the body bags briefcase.
Body bags sponsored by body bags briefcase.
You need
tired of lugging those body bags around. If only someone had a specific case.
The ergonomics of this briefcase are ideal for your typical average sized American.
Oh, it must be lightweight. No, it's heavy as fuck. That's why it knocks people out.
You don't want your body bag just like falling apart in there. It's got to be heavy duty.
Yeah.
Made of the finest titanium and the finest handles in all.
We took the patent from Samsonite.
Yeah. Yeah. Samsonite himself.
Herself.
Oh, herself. Samsonite herself. Sorry. Or their self. Whatever they identify as.
You know that person's trans now, right?
Yeah. Samson?
Yeah.
Samsonite? Yeah. Samson's the first name, right? Ite's
the pronoun.
Yeah. Samsonite. I-T. Yeah.
Sam self. Sam self. All right. Do you think we're the only time travelers that existed?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I thought so.
But it does raise some suspicion. Someone has a DX sign, and it has, like, the X green sign, by the way, the X, and it says, like, degeneration, which is exactly what the T-shirt looks like, but green is the color that they end up going with. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, I'll put it here.
Yeah, okay.
But it was interesting.
A little suspicious, huh?
It could be that they saw that and were inspired.
You know, that happened with Shawn Michaels previously in his career. As when he came out with the Rockers, they were at a show, and they had this whatever stupid, they had their stupid outfit on, and one of the fans was like, I'm going to make them a team kind of outfit wrestling gear. So she, like, knitted the whole wrestling gear, met them at their next show, and, like, said, hey,
what, the colorful rocker show?
Yeah. Mm. She made, just some random person in the crowd made that for them and said, I want you to have this. Like, they let her in, met them, and then she made all of their costumes forever then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that what happened with Sasha Banks?
I don't know about that.
No. Her husband does, like, all of her ring attire, allegedly.
Not in a while.
Yeah. But he's, like, a 2, and she's, like, a, you know, 9.
Yeah, she's a Hershey, Pennsylvania 10.
Yeah, so are we. All right, Michael Cole, we haven't seen him in a while, and he's interviewing DX regarding Sean interfering with Ken Shamrock's match last night. Remember, Ken could have won the WWF title. He had him right here. Bret Hart was tapping, remember? Mm-hmm. And then out comes the sweet chin music. Big kerbopple.
Big kerbopple.
Mm-hmm. And what does Sean do as a response to this, Tom? He kisses Triple H.
Yeah, what is that? Why is that a response to any of that, though?
And then he kisses Chyna.
Chyna.
Kisses Chyna.
Who do you like to kiss the most?
Not Rick Rude, clearly.
He's like, what are you doing?
Because he's like, you're waiting a little bit, and then doesn't.
He's like, what is, come on, give me a kiss. Sean.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. I could always edit it out if you change your mind later. We can just do it. I mean, it doesn't need to air.
That would be silly. Wouldn't it be silly?
Yeah, it'd be
so silly. It'd be so crazy.
Speaking of which, the crowd just starts chanting. I'm just gonna say it.
Whoa, you gotta bleep that out.
I bleeped it out, but they start chanting it, and it's very, very loud.
What do you mean? What do you mean I'm homophobic? I almost just kissed a guy live on television.
Yeah, I know. You can't
I can
call
say
that.
It now.
I've been jerking him this entire time, but I ain't no queer. Now, Triple H takes the mic from Michael Cole and says, you've been talking enough, kid. And does the old classic, Chyna gets on all fours behind him. Triple H gives him the old push.
And he falls. He's got no leverage. Looks like a nerd. Michael, they should change the name to Michael Nerd. Right? He looked like a nerd.
Yeah.
What did Mark Mirror call him later? Gilligan? Get out of here, Gilligan.
Is that what he says? I didn't catch that. All right, long of the short. Take a sip for that one. Sean is calling out Ken Shamrock and calls out Sergeant Slaughter
to come out here and make it official.
So Sean and Hunter have a little prop. I like this one. They got their COVID face shields to stop the spit.
I wish I had one of these when COVID
from hit. Sergeant Slaughter.
It's got windshield wipers on it.
Yeah, and then they bring out the little windshield wipers. So Sergeant Slaughter says, well, that match will happen here tonight. And they're like, what? You just challenged him.
Yeah. What he is wanted it? To do it next week.
They never said that,
though. He said next week. Say, next week I'm going to do a couple things, and one of them was to face...
Okay. Well, then, this shouldn't be... Okay, whatever. Either way, Sergeant Slaughter just starts spitting on them when they're leaving. Yeah. Because
they took their face shields off, eventually. And then he starts spitting on them. He knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Super spreader in a hand.
Yeah, super spreader for sure. Fauci would be rolling in his... Correct. More money. All right, we mentioned Mark Merrill, so let's get to it. Mark Merrill versus Savio Vega. And Savio Vega has some choice words about Sable before the match, but I do not speak Spanish.
Ah.
Or
is it Spanish?
Spanish, though, yeah.
Puerto Rican is Spanish, yeah.
No, yeah, I know, but I was just wondering. I thought they had like a second tier language that wasn't English, quite. Maybe? I'm thinking Portuguese.
Ah, no, that's Brazil and Portugal.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. Duolingo. So he says some words about Sable. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what he says, but I'm pretty sure he goes, I want to rape her. Thought he said that. For sure.
You know how you say not a condom in Spanish?
Yeah.
Not a condom. Not a condom. Yeah. So zero condom. Yeah. Zero. Not a condom.
Zero.
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 Miedo. Zero miedo that it's a condom. No fear that it's a condom.
All right. Mark Merrill versus Savio Vega. And before this match gets started, we're just going to open up Mark Merrill's dressing room, and oh my God, is that Sable changing? Yes, it is.
Okay.
And Mark Merrill pulls her away, and we almost see a titty.
Ah.
Come on, titty. Damn. Was that a first take? Do you think they got that in the first shot?
Yeah.
Like, is there any areola in there? Like, there is not. We can use it.
You can edit out the areola in post,
yeah.
Right?
It's like, send me all the goddamn footage.
Yeah.
Where is it? Yeah. That's inappropriate for you rapists. All right, match gets going. Mark Merrill does what he's been doing. No high flying, but low blowing. Ends up sneaking a low blow to Savio Vega and hitting that TKO. And while we have Michael Cole out there, he's doing an out of the ring interview with Sable, and he goes, Sable, what do you have to say about your man, Mark Merrill? Basically,
holding a dick.
Yeah. And she goes, well, you know, and then she's got off.
Yeah, Mark Merrill's like, you want to talk to a superstar? Talk to me, Gilligan.
Mm-hmm.
And pushes him away, and they go on their merry way.
What is the Gilligan thing? It's just like, you know, a nerd?
The show Gilligan's,
like Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, he was like a little skinny, dorky nerd.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like Michael Cole.
Makes sense.
Remember when Michael Cole got pushed over earlier and he looked like a giant nerd?
Oh, total
yeah,
Gilligan.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, Gilligan and a half.
Yeah.
Gilligan and a half.
And a half, yeah.
A Gilligan again.
Wow, well, 25 years later, he no longer has Vince screaming in his ear, so I think he's thriving.
Yeah. Gilligan or Michael Cole?
Gilligan.
Yeah.
Gilligan. What's your next match? God, I'm going to have to do so much editing. This is going to be terrible. Vader versus the British Bulldog.
Hey, you guys give yourself the snap dog filter when
you
do
have
it?
To,
yeah,
right?
You're going
to
do it, right? Okay.
Yeah. It's been on this entire time. The filter. Fucking dog collar, man.
Whoa, haven't had a burp in a while, ladies and gentlemen.
Haven't been drinking beer in a while.
Yeah, okay.
I had wings earlier, so the only way to consummate my stomach with those. We got breaking news that the Patriot has a torn tricep.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. No wonder him news. And Vader haven't been
in. Also, I think we've been seeing the Sultan more than we've been seeing Vader. Or Patriot.
Patriot?
Yeah.
No, I think the last time we saw him was the same episode.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
I think.
We'll see.
Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. More pointy shoes equals more shots for you. Bulldog is coming out with not quite the Heart Foundation.
Yeah, a new group. It's like Bulldog's getting into the old HVAC business, huh?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, you know, he's working with the best in the biz. Almost like he's got an apprenticeship with Furnace & Co.
Are they union?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're from Canada. It's all unions up there.
Oh, yeah.
They're all in the maple syrup union.
Yeah, stupid libs. Doug Furnace, is that what you mean? And Philip LaFleur?
Oh, Furnace & Co.
Oh, that HVAC, of course. Yeah, why are they with Bulldog?
Because apparently they're having this Canada versus America match at Survivor Series. And that's Team Canada, apparently. Which only two of the people are Canadian.
How pissed is JR right now?
I'm pretty pissed.
Because, is it Philip LaFon? Or is it Furnace? That's from Oklahoma.
Doug Furnace is from Oklahoma. Yeah. Philip LaFon is from France. Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah. So, which is Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ah, interesting.
French, but yeah, JR's just like, that son of a bitch is from Oklahoma, where I live. Yeah. And he's with the Canadian team.
No boomer shooter. Yeah, no boomer shooter.
I think they interview him. He's like, yeah, my wife was like a Maple Leafs fan or something. Yeah.
No, they do interviews. He's like, what are you, like, was it Michael Cole again or something? He's like, what are you guys even doing? Like, yeah. On Team Canada. He's like, well, I am from Canada, you stupid idiot. That's what Philip LaFon says. Furnace is like, well, we got hit by a car a few months ago, apparently. That's why we haven't seen it. We got hit by a car and almost died, and only non-American fans wrote us letters.
Because it wasn't on American TV. We didn't see it.
Yeah,
how the fuck are we supposed to know they're in a car accident? Brian Pillman died. We're trying to make
this happen. Yeah, I know. Fuck you, dude. And so they got a big beef with the fans. They're back because they want to be on Team Canada. They want to show the Americans what's what. So they're there for that. And meanwhile, back in the ring, we've got the dog collar match.
Yeah, dog collar match is going on. It's
they're doing some kinky shit, like wrapping it around stuff and penetrating and then knocking turnbuckles. If you know what I'm saying, like just tapping turnbuckles.
Do we mention Jim the Anvil Neidhart is with British Bulldog?
And
right?
He's just stroking his goatee.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, right.
I do want to throw just how terrible he is right now. Vader gets thrown out of the ring, and the Anvil goes to attack him and just does like a belly flop and just like chest bumps him
that's kinky stuff.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And before you know it,
Vader wins?
Yeah, kind of. It was just as awkward as that was.
Even the announcers didn't realize.
Vince goes, he's got one more thing to go.
No,
and
that
it's
was
like,
it.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, I guess.
And it was the same rules as the Caribbean strap. We got to tap all four turnbuckles.
Consecutively, right?
And Vader did it without much of a problem, which you would think, being like 450 pounds, you'd have a distinct advantage in a match where you're wrapped neck to neck with a small, like 280 pound guy.
Let's not look into it too much. It was
either way, Vader wins, and then there's a big kerbopple.
Big kerbopple. Vader is getting his ass kicked by everyone. And where is anyone from this American team?
Only one possible member. They didn't say the team, right?
No, it's plugged later.
This could be the Patriots' replacement.
Could be.
The black man.
The fan?
The black man.
I know.
Yeah.
But the Caucasian black man.
Yeah. Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying it's a fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not. It's Steve Black.
Yeah, I don't know.
Martial arts expert.
Yes. So, a fan, that's his name, Steve Blackman, comes out and literally just a little bit of chroma grow.
Yeah, it's a couple of my two tree kicks.
two tree
bindings.
We gotta have body tints for Survivor Series or something,
we
right?
We do.
Yeah.
We gotta fucking
I was thinking for Survivor Series, maybe we'll do like Molson or Labatt, but fuck Canadian
body
beer.
Body tints way better than that.
Fuck Canadian beer.
It's only good.
Either way, so Steve Blackman, or what they're saying is a fan, gets escorted out. Not really. They're just kind of just like, hey, just go through that way and then just make a left here.
It's Hershey, Pennsylvania. They take care of Steve Blackman.
We heard there was a black man in jail. Give him the death sentence. Like, no. It's his name, Steve Blackman. Martial art expert. And they're like, all right.
Makes sense.
As long as we see him more than salt.
I bet we will.
We definitely will. What are your thoughts on Steve Blackman, though?
Great striker. Never really, the I guess.
Only match I remember is they were in like a sphere. A cage sphere. Do you remember that?
Yeah, him and Shamrock have a match like that. But there's some really good Steve Blackman matches. He has a big, I think, SummerSlam maybe 2000. Him versus Shane O'Mac. And like, they both go off the Titantron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I was wondering, maybe that was Steve Blackman.
There's some good Steve Blackman matches. He's pretty, and he really goes, his best run is Chad Cheese and then doing the hardcore stuff that he does.
Yeah, so good to finally see him. And man, the more we creep into like 98, where we both have like a pretty good memory of everything, the more I'm just like, I kind of don't want this to go away. You know? like I'm ready for 98, but I'm like, I kind of, because this is all still a little bit kind of.
Should we just start watching WCW?
We could.
Just totally pivot everything once we get to 98 and ruin our whole entire love of the whole thing.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Swipe up, donate, so we can do that.
This is why I'm telling you, this is a whole different route. Like, now we got the Boriquas versus the New Age Outlaws out of
nowhere. That's what's next, yeah.
Mr. Ass himself and the Road Dog.
First time they call him Mr. Ass, by the way.
Yes. And I noticed that he calls Mr. Ass a couple times. Doesn't call him Daddy Ass yet.
No.
Must not be a daddy.
He does not.
Fuck your thumb up, dude.
Yeah, kisses.
Scissoring. Scissoring's dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, it could be safety scissors. It's dangerous when you use... Not a condom. JR plugged something that I thought was really weird that I'm going to tell you right now leads to absolutely nothing. JR says the LOD got in some weird dispute with the commissioner and now they're
out of the arena.
Out of the arena.
Because this is a whole different raw, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
No, but yeah, they got an argument.
There could have been a dark match before that ended in something, and that's... I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. It has nothing to do with this match or any other matches that happen for the rest of this thing. So why...
Correct.
So weird.
I hate the fans after this match, or during this match, because they chant the F word at Mr. Ass.
Wow. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
He's clearly not an F word.
Clearly not.
He's an A word.
He's an ass man. He's an ass man. Billy Gunn jumps off the top turnbuckle, interrupts the pin, and then moves Road Dogg over. Yeah. So Road Dogg.
The push is still happening.
Yeah.
We're in the swing of things with the NAO.
Also, I think we forgot to mention this, but... remember last week with the Blackjacks?
Mm-hmm. They got their hats. And
They stole their hats.
They're not giving them back. They ruined them.
I love it, though. Like,
did we even see the Blackjacks ever again? I don't know. Oh, man. You clean Klaus's fish tank.
Yeah. You think you're crying? Try walking by it every day, motherfucker.
You told me. You're like, it's going to be up there for a while.
Well, it was. Yeah.
It mostly evaporated. R.I.P. Klaus, man.
Yeah. Once I went to like dump the stuff out of that tank, I smelt that water. I'm like, yeah, he definitely died. And this was the reason.
You get a man into it yet? Or
I'm more worried about bringing Vince down first.
Bringing Vince down?
Yeah.
Why?
The whole Brian Pillman thing.
Brian Pillman. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about Vince, our friend Vince, who eats puss.
He eats puss indeed, yeah. Dairy-free puss.
Dairy-free puss. We get that almond puss.
Yeah, let me show that labia got no lactose in it.
Jesus Christ.
All right, Sergeant Slaughter, man of his word, he's going to give you that match tonight. Shawn Michaels versus the most dangerous man in the world.
What'd you think about this match?
Ken Shamrock.
We all knew you were going to say Ken Shamrock there. You didn't have to actually finish.
I always finish.
It is true. He always does.
All right.
I don't know. Not a great match. It's kind of a... I don't know. It does push Ken Shamrock a bit. It's not bad in that. Yeah. It's giving him a lot of credibility. He basically taps Bret Hart a week ago.
That's true.
In this match, he taps HBK too, although the ref is distracted. So basically, this is the greatest wrestler in all of the WWF right now.
Yeah.
Essentially. If the refs weren't pieces of shit and could actually pay attention to the people wrestling.
Yeah.
He would be champion, European champion.
I still think he might be European champion here soon. Or I see something soon. I think it's something soon. Either way, we'll get the match. Rick Rude comes out with his briefcase. Ken Shamrock goes for a hurricanrana, which he's done a couple more times. But HBK counters it with a powerbomb. I just thought both those moves, I don't really think, like, define that wrestler. That makes sense. Like, HBK doesn't do powerbombs, and Ken Shamrock, I think he's starting to do hurricanranas, but, like, that's not his wheelhouse.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it works. It's cool. I like when people aren't just doing the same moves over and over again.
I agree, yeah.
It makes it more of a craft.
Sure. Sean goes to set up for that sweet chin music, and Ken Shamrock moves, sets up for that
belly-to-belly
suplex, and then Ken Shamrock sets up for that ankle lock. Does HBK tap? Does he tap? Oh, my God. What is in that briefcase?
Body bags.
Body bags. Forgot about that.
So
Rick Rude
comes through the insurance policy, like a good neighbor. Flow from Progressive, Allstate, whatever it is, he's there.
Liberty Mutual. Did you say the General?
Then the Penguins.
Pretty cool ending, though, to this Raw. They take that briefcase, set it on the ground, and Triple H does a pedigree to Ken Shamrock on that briefcase. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yes, they beat the crap out of him, and the episode ends.
Yeah, so next we got Survivor Series.
Should we do picks now?
What
do you think? I got the card here, which there is a lot of.
Can I go pee first when you read that?
I kind of got a pee too. Can you edit it out?
I'll edit it out. We're back.
How long does it take you to eat a fucking baby Twix, dude?
It's not baby Twix, it's the right Twix. The left one, I swallow.
Oh, left you can
swallow.
The right
ones, I take my time.
There's no Pro River Powerhouse in the Twix. But, so... All right, what would you guess how many 8-man elimination tag matches there are in the Survivor Series?
Or clearly more than one.
Guess, well, how many do you think there are?
I'm going to say two.
There's four.
No fucking way.
So, first match of the card, the Godwins.
We're not even doing this. We're just going straight to the next episode.
The Godwins. Billy Gunn and Road Dogg versus the Headbangers and the New Blackjacks.
Who has the title right now?
The LOD does. So none of them.
Mm. Road Dogg and...
Yeah, I would say I'm going to agree with you on that. Next one, Disciples of Apples versus the Truth Commission. 4-on-4 Eliminator.
I feel like they're going to push Truth Commission, so...
Yeah.
They're probably not going to, but...
Like we go with Disciples of Apples.
Though. Oh, we got a difference there. Okay.
All right, another one. Goldust, Mark Miro, Steve Blackman, and Vader is Team America versus Doug Furness, Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, Philip LaFon, and the British Bulldog.
Team America is winning this one.
It's in Canada, I think, because it's in Canada. They got to leave.
No, I know they're in Canada, but that's why they call it a screw job. It wasn't really the Brett match that they were pissed about. It was this one. They're
okay, about. Well, we'll see. That's two differences now. We got Mankind versus Kane. I think we're going to both agree it's got to be Kane.
It's got to be Kane.
Last Eliminator match. Ahmed, Ken Shamrock, and the Legion of Doom versus the Nation of Domination in its entirety.
Team LOD.
I'm going to go NOD here.
Really?
I'm going to go NOD. Okay. Then we got the Intercontinental title match. This is Owen Hart with Doug Furness, Jim Neidhart, Philip LaFon, and British Bulldog, which now definitely makes me think they win, versus Steve Austin. What do you think?
Actually, I feel like I should know this, but I don't.
I feel like I should too, but I don't.
Stone Cold.
I know that I feel like Stone Cold should win.
I feel,
but like, I don't know if he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll be WWE.
I'm going to say he does not.
I'll go with he does.
Okay.
He's going to, yeah, so I mean, he hasn't really had a run. He was temp champion for a day, basically.
Right.
I think he's got to have, you got to have Intercontinental
Championship. Yeah, I think they want to move the feud, though. Because anyone can come out to Stone Cold. But if he loses on a shitty way, Owen gets to win, somebody beats Owen, he's going to now chase the title instead of chasing Owen, right? So I still feel like he gets disqualified
because he just gets revenge. It's probably, he still looks like he should win, but, right. And then we got the one we all know, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. Who wins?
I'm going to say Shawn Michaels for some reason.
Yeah, same here. But I bet, you know what? I bet Bret doesn't tap. I bet there's some kind of screw job that happens.
What could happen? What kind of, it definitely work. Definitely work. I feel like we need to brush through this pay-per-view pretty quickly because I feel like 15 minutes needs to be about if we think it's a work or not. So let's say to right now if we think it's a work or not, and then after the pay-per-view, we'll see if we stand with what we said or not.
At the same time? One,
two, three.
It's a work. Good night, and God bless wrestling.